I will actually be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning, talking about the Lord's Supper. Wish I had a little bit more time to go through this, but we'll do the best that we can. The Lord's Supper is something that we remember in this church four times a year. And depending on where you came from, you probably used a whole lot more than four times a year. We try to make it, when we do it, something as special as we can. And of course, on Good Friday, it's tied into Good Friday and Easter. And Christmas Eve, it's tied in with Christ at Christmas. It's pretty easy to do that. But the other two times of the year, it maybe takes a little more effort to stop and to think about what the Lord's Supper is all about. We have traditions that we do within the church, and they oftentimes become habitual. And sometimes we even go to the point that there's a term that's used, it becomes liturgy. And this isn't a very liturgical church. It probably hasn't ever been too much, and as long as I'm here, it probably won't be. That's just the way I am. But yet, I do the same things over and over again. And maybe in a sense, that is. I struggle with that. We get comfortable with those things, having a knowledge of how things are going to go and how things are going to work. But hopefully we keep you on your toes a little bit now and then to make you stop and think. At least stop and think about what we're doing. And that's one of the goals of this message this morning, is to make you stop and think before you come to the table and partake of the elements, these physical elements that are representative of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for you. Why do we do it? And why is it important to do it how many ever times that you want to do it, or it's available for you? Let me just go through a few things to help us to think about that for a moment. And by no means is this going to be complete in and of itself, but hopefully it'll help you to think a little bit. Some of the ingredients as we partake of the Lord's Supper that you might choose, that I believe you probably should choose to put into it. And number one is worship. Worship can be so difficult, and yet it should be so easy. And even to define it, and what is it? In my mind, it's just simply giving to God what is due to Him. And to do that, we need to understand who He is. And the fact that He deserves that everything that we can give to Him. We call this a worship service. Well, we're supposed to be able to worship God. And one of the things that means to me is, first of all, that it's not about us. You know, how many times have you went from church and you said, "Oh, I feel good. I was in church today. Or that made me feel good." Or even when we sing the choruses that are designed to be worship choruses, do we feel good? Well, you know, I don't care if you feel good. Do I dare say I don't care if you feel bad? Maybe I shouldn't say that. Okay. But the point is, it's not about you. It's about God. And giving back to Him what He deserves. And that's, you know, if we could just in the offering give Him our monetary, and that would be worship, oh, that would be easier, right? Something physical, something tangible, but worship is an interior thing. And it takes the right heart, or a heart that we prepare to do that. That we maybe need to get right in our heart with Him, that we need to confess sin. We may need to get right with people. We may need to do a lot of things, but to be able to focus on our God and to give Him the glory that is due to Him. The Lord's Supper is giving back to God in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, is giving back to Him the glory that is due to Him, because this has already taken place. He did for us something in so many respects unimaginable, so incomprehensible, by purposely doing what He did to provide for us the ability to have our sins forgiven, to love us. Even when we didn't love Him, here is love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us. He loved us first, but God commanded His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, we were still going the wrong direction. He sent Christ into the world to die on the cross for our sin. And this is a remembrance of what Christ did for us. And from it should come a heart of worship. A lot there that I would hope that you might in your own devotional life spend some time at. Secondly, I believe that there is a sense of unity that should be involved within the Lord's Supper. Do you remember why this is written, 1 Corinthians 11, that I almost always use when we do the Lord's Supper? It's such a concise an understandable way in which the apostle gives this to us. Do you remember why he's writing this to them? We have the account in the Gospels. We read from Mark this morning when Christ actually did it. But why did Paul have to go back and talk to the Corinthian church about it? Because they had major problems. And at the heart of at least some of those problems, and the first writing, the first book of Corinthians, deals with this quite a bit. There was really a lack of unity among the believers. And this is one place in which it stood out in Paul's mind. Because they weren't caring for each other. Often in the New Testament church, I hate to tell you this, but in the New Testament times, they often had meals that went along with this. They called them love feast, where the Lord's Supper was honored and remembered. They had potlucks. I know sometimes we get tired of potlucks. No, I don't, but sometimes you do. But in doing this, there was a marked separation of people within the body. Some were poor and had nothing. Some were blessed in physical things and had much. And where one side of the room may be feasting, the other side of the room was going without, so to speak. There was a lack of love. There was a lack of unity. There was a problem that existed among the people within the fellowship. That shouldn't be. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we all come identically. There was a contemporary man that I was kind of really into his writings a little bit, until one day, and I still am to some extent, but one day he came up with this idea that there's a large variance in sin and what it is. He was against this doctrine that sin is equal. And I understood what he was saying to this degree, that yes, there even may be different forms of punishment repercussions of reaping what you sow in the essence of sin. But when we come to Jesus Christ, what sin we commit, and of course it's many, but whatever sin that we do commit, it separates us from God. You know, it wasn't long ago that I come to the realization that when this whole problem started in the human race, it wasn't about, and sin entered into the human race, it wasn't about murder or rape or a mass shooting. It was about eating a fruit. It was about something that we would consider inconsequential many times and thinking about it. Be on the order of telling a little lie. Oh, but you know what? That's sin. And you know that sin is deplorable in God's eyes. Yeah, Pastor, you've gone from preaching to meddling. Okay, I understand that. But it's true. In other words, we all start at the same place. We're separated from God because of our sin, no matter what we've done. And so we come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper on common ground. There may be a lot of differences in us and who we are and where we've come from and what's happened in our lives, but this is common ground. Our sin drove us to Christ. Well, God drove us to Christ, but it was because of our sin. And it doesn't matter the size of the sin. It was sin. And we all needed to repent and by faith trust in Jesus Christ. All come to the same place. And so when we come to the Lord's table together, we should remember that there is only one solution, and that is Jesus. And that should bring us together in some form of unity. Thirdly, the Lord's Supper is a proclamation. Verse 26, this says, as often as you eat or drink this, as often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death. It's a proclamation. God says that you are my disciples, you are my ambassadors, you are my witnesses, you are to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and every time that you partake of the Lord's Supper, you are proclaiming to the world around you. Well, the world ain't looking in on us today, are they? That's one of the reasons that when I baptize, I go down to the river there. It's right out and open for anybody and everybody to see that is around. Because it is that as well as an open proclamation of your faith in Jesus Christ. Partaking the Lord's Supper is also an open proclamation of your faith in Jesus Christ. And it's important to do that. You need to do that. We are His missionaries to proclaim Jesus Christ. And the Lord's table, even though it's pretty restrictive, is still a way in which you proclaim Jesus Christ. Somebody asked you today, what did you do in church today? I partook of the Lord's Supper. We had communion. I don't know how you say it, but I like the term Lord's Supper, so that's what I use. Well, that's what you do in church. Yeah, I know that. It might also give you a chance to go on and tell them and explain to them the beauty of it, the specialness of it, of remembering what Christ did for you, very specifically for you. And it also involves remembering. That all of this comes back maybe to this. Remembering. Do this in remembrance of me. It is for a personal remembrance that sometimes we may fall short of. Shouldn't. But maybe you're just thinking when you come to the Lord's table, well, there's Jesus. I see him hanging on the cross. I see his wounded body. I see the blood dripping from him. I see the inhumanity of man upon Jesus. How badly his body is beaten. And I think, wow, that's amazing that a man would love us so much. But let me just take this a little bit farther. Maybe as well as that, you should be remembering when that became real to you. That this is a personal remembrance of the time that you realized what Jesus Christ did for you and you accepted him as your Savior, your provision for your sin, the provision for your sin, that it became real to you, that it's not just Jesus up on the cross dying for the world, but it's Jesus up on the cross dying for you. Very personal. Changes things when you do that, at least just a little bit. He solved the dilemma of your sin that had separated you from God. He suffered and died and rose again for you. Don't just generalize it, is what I'm asking here. Make it personal. Understand. I'm not even sure exactly how you might want to do that. Maybe you will see him hanging on the cross and all that I described, and you and only you at the foot of the cross kneeling before him. No one else, no disciples, no mother, just you. Maybe you even want to go to the point where you hear Jesus say to you, I'm doing this for you and for you alone. I don't know what you want to do, but I'm asking you to at least try and personalize this a little bit, remembering what Christ has done for you. And so we come to the table and we worship, hopefully. We share in the unity, the same benefits, the same salvation. We are proclaiming the gospel and we are remembering what Christ has done for us. I want you in your heart to think about this. We should have an hour or two just to stop and think. Probably in our hearts, but probably won't take that time. But maybe in just a few moments, I'll give you just a moment before I close in prayer, that you might seek Jesus, that you might seek God to lead you and bring you to that point that he wants to impact upon your heart right now as you come to the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this little bit of liturgy or ceremony or whatever it may be called, tradition, that you left with us and you told us to remember it from time to time. The early church did this, and the church throughout the centuries has done this because it is something you specifically left for us to do. To worship and to remember and to join together in doing that to honor you and to remember what you've done for us. These are just simply symbols. And they mean little or nothing if the relationship with you is not true. If we don't know you as our Lord and Savior, then this is meaningless. We're remembering an historic event. And so we need to remember it personally because you have saved us from our sins. We pray that that might be true of each one here. And if there is one who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, they might be drawn to Him today. Father, bless in our time around the table. In Jesus' name, amen.